Welcome to Eugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Eugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Eugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Eugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Brad Culp. I have Sam Grass and Trevor Wolford in the studio with me this morning, and we've got a full house. So even though Trevor probably wouldn't be on the radio anyway, he doesn't have a mic today, so he's ignoring me.
I have his mic.
You
have
his,
I'm in the leisure chair here.
It's a good thing we're not on TV.
That's true. Well, that's always the case. That's true no matter what. Today's show is really a special show, and I want to interrupt Brad just for a minute, and I was thinking about it as I was listening to the introduction. We speak about heroes that that contribute to the senior population, and today's show is about three heroes that we want to speak of. So with that, Brad, I'll throw it back to you, but it's a real special show for us.
Indeed, it's a special show. A number of months ago, we had the opportunity to nominate caregivers for some national awards within the Griswold Special Care system. And by way of reference, there are now about 175 different territories in the Griswold system, and everybody had an opportunity to nominate their caregivers for some national awards. And so there were three awards. There was an overall Caregiver of the Year award. There was a self-development award and a mentor award, and we nominated three of our caregivers for these awards, and these three ladies are here with us today, and they've just found out, in fact, that there were some winners. So before we get into this, I just want to recognize these three ladies and talk about their award briefly, and then let them introduce themselves. So for Caregiver of the Year, we had Elaine Lawson get an honorable mention, and it should be noted that there was a first, second, and third place award, and then just a few honorable mentions, and again, out of 175 territories. So Elaine Lawson received an honorable mention for Caregiver of the Year. For the Mentor Award, and the Mentor Award was given to the caregivers that demonstrated an ability to take their fellow caregivers and bring them along, to show leadership on teams where clients required more than one caregiver. And so this would be a caregiver stepping up and kind of being an informal team leader on these cases. And for the Mentor Award, Sharon McCullough received second place. And then there was a third award for self-development. And self-development is exactly what it sounds. It's taking the initiative to improve on one's skills, one's capabilities, and really going above and beyond the call to make themselves a better caregiver. And in that category, we were blessed to have two awards. We had Sharon McCullough, who was first place, and Patrice Newkirk, who got second. So between the three ladies represented here today, we took home four awards, and an incredible honor for us to be able to have such terrific caregivers. And so we wanted to take a moment today to get to know these ladies a little bit better, to hear their stories, and to share that on the radio. So with that, I'm going to start and work my way around the room. Again, we have three ladies with us. We have Sharon McCullough, we have Patrice Newkirk, and we have Elaine Lawson. We're going to start with Sharon. And Sharon, just tell us a little bit about where you're from and how you got to be doing what you're doing.
Okay, good morning, first of all. I'm honored. This is wonderful. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, and born and raised, and I've been doing caregiving since 1989, And I started accidentally with a friend calling for help. I was in a marketing at the time, selling office supplies. And they called me up and said, Sharon, can you help me? I go, oh, I don't know what to do. So I said, okay. She said, you can do it. You can do it. So I came over and I helped. It was a gentleman I took care of that day. And I, after taking care of him, and I got in a car and I was driving home, I had the best feeling come through my body that I've never felt before. And I said, you know what? I felt so good. I said, this is what I should be doing. Hmm. And that's how it started. And so I went to school then, took some classes, and learned how to do this, in other words.
So how did you get to Atlanta from Detroit?
Oh, well, I followed my sister, actually. Mm-hmm. They kept saying, you know, you're not going to be far from your sister. She moved here because of her job. And then I came to visit one Thanksgiving and was amazed about the weather. I only had to put on a coat because I'm from Michigan. It's ice and snow. And I said, that was great. So I kind of followed her. And I've this has always been in my heart. So I knew I was going to do the same thing here in Atlanta.
Yeah. And so, and when was that? What year did you come to
1995,
Atlanta?
And I came straight to your company.
Okay.
I sure did. And I'm honored to be with your company as well. But I started with you guys. I've been with you ever since.
17 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Almost as long as we've been in business.
Yeah.
So
I've been hanging around.
Well, we're thrilled to have you.
Yeah.
Let's go on to Patrice. Patrice, same thing. You know, where are you from and how did you get to be doing what you're doing?
I'm from New York City. Queens.
So yes. Another northerner.
Yeah. I'm a Yankee, yes. I actually got started because I had to take care of my father, who was diagnosed with cancer. I was a paralegal at the time and stopped work to take care of my dad because it was trying on my mother and she wasn't able to do it anymore. We didn't want him to go into a facility. We wanted to take care of him at home. So
That was in New York?
That was in New York. I quit my job, and I went and took care of my dad until he passed away in 1998. I then went on a little retreat, as you want to say, and when I came back, I found that that was my calling, to take mm-hmm. care of others. Mm-hmm. I felt like if I could take care of my dad, and that's what I wanted to do. That's why I went into the legal field, because I wanted to help others. So I went back to school, and I got my nursing degree. And I've been doing that since 1990. I moved to Atlanta in 2006. And that's when I started with Griswold Special Care, as soon as I got here. And I enjoy just taking care of others.
Great. And so how long did you take care of your dad?
I took care of my dad for a year and a half.
Year and a half.
Yes.
Okay. It's really interesting that so many people that are on our show that are serving seniors in many, many different capacities, from mm-hmm. a legal profession to nursing to, you know, hospice, whatever it might be, so many of them come because they've had some kind of personal experience with the elderly, whether it's a grandparent or a parent. And so no surprise there. So excellent. Okay, well, let's move on to Elaine. Elaine, right. Same thing.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for this opportunity, for sure. I'm originally from Jamaica. West Indies. My parents are professionals. My mother started out as a teacher and then became a nurse. So I started way back before you guys. I remember at eight, nine, I had to help my mother in the health centers in Jamaica, packing syringes and getting it ready for sterilization. Packing gauze for dressings to get to sterilize and stuff like that. So, you know, as a child, we were exposed to quite a few things in the medical field. My mother then went to England, and I stayed in Jamaica and visited England. So when we get there, she was midwife. I used to take the bags. moving around with her, going from home to home, delivering babies. I got to New York City, and she moved to New York and brought us as children to New York. And at age, I think it was 17, 18, she said, you better get your nursing assistant license because you have to work, you have to help me. So I got it, and I started out that way. That put me through school, and I went and I turned and did business administration and other degrees. Gerontology was a minor, and I liked the feel of gerontology where you can do different things for seniors. That was another thing that helped me out. Being like a, I think, activity director, that's what they call it now. In New York, it wasn't. I would go from senior center to senior center doing activities, playing bingo, doing it, anything in that area. I liked that, and by age 20, I started out with my first patient, where I did private duty. And I worked with this gentleman, we call him Pi, for about 2.5 years until he died. And that was how I got into this type of field. Mm-hmm. I worked in the corporate, and then in 2002, I moved to Georgia in 1991. And in 2002, I quit my job, stress, and then decided, let me go back to this. And that's 2002, I think, and that's when I started with Griswold Special Care.
I think it's very interesting. All three stories have a similar thing.
Similar.
You all have education in various fields
and
found a calling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, and all three heads are nodding yes.
Yes.
So I guess clearly we want to respect the privacy of the clients that you have or have had.
Mm-hmm.
So without jeopardizing that, I'd be interested in having you just chat about some of your experiences with the clients you've had. What you over the years, you've all been doing this for a long time. Over the years, I'm sure there have been some experiences that have really touched your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can kind of just, we can go around the circle again and have you just share, maybe one experience that touched your heart and how that's affected your outlook.
A lot of them affected my heart, honestly. I get close to every single one of them. I do. I really do. I think that one lady I took care of for 8 years. She never got married. She didn't have any children. She didn't have anybody to really care for her. No uncles, no aunts, everybody had passed. Mm-hmm. She was totally by herself.
Mm-hmm.
She really depended on me, totally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for her for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, was this, just out of curiosity, was this the client that you had when
yes.
Lisa and I bought the company?
Yes, that's
oddly, we got a call from a woman a week or so ago who was either a neighbor or a relative of some kind of that woman.
Oh,
and
good.
She knew you.
Oh,
and
good.
She said, is Sharon still with you? And do you remember Miss?
Yes.
Yeah, and
nice.
I thought, wow, that's
that's
really
good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So.
Sharon, I don't know how to ask this question. What was your capacity? How did you feel in relationship to this individual? Were you just someone providing care, or was it more than that?
Oh, no, I love this lady. She is wonderful. I learned a lot from her. I love seniors because I learn a lot from mm-hmm. seniors. She taught me a lot. I was taking care mm-hmm. of her, but she taught me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her experience. I loved her life, and she was a beautiful person. She's always in my heart. I always think of her still today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the interesting thing about that particular client is that there were two of you on the case that she loved.
Yes.
And trying to fill in the gaps in the schedule yes. was very difficult. She was a very demanding client.
Yes.
But yet, you know, you had developed a relationship with her that was
very close.
We quite
were very
special.
Close.
And
yes.
That's what I was trying to get at is that yeah. you know these situations, these relationships are more than that. It's a family type of
yes, it is.
Of experience and. That's what I, and all three heads are nodding. When they get with these clients and they spend some time with them, then the relationship becomes deep, and it is almost a family type of situation. That's what makes us who we are and makes us what we are. Sharon, certainly appreciate that. Patrice, do you have any particular client or situation that you'd like to speak to?
Yes, it was my first client when I started with Griswold Special Care. It was an elderly guy. He was a Navy chief in the service. He was very difficult, and they were expecting him to pass away. We went through so much, but he taught me so much about life and how to care. And even though people may be difficult, it's not that they're being difficult, mm-hmm. it's that they're trying to deal with their situation. So he taught me how to not particularly judge, to go in with an open mind, because you never know what someone is going through. And that's what he taught me. And he taught me how to live. And he taught me how to like Atlanta. Because we used to drive every day. And they gave him 6 months to live. He lived for 2 years.
How about that?
Yep.
What a great story.
Yeah.
You know, the
yep.
caregiver learns, receives as much from the client.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, the other thing that's interesting is we've heard frequently on the show from a number of hospice organizations about how hospice prolongs people's lives. Mm-hmm. People live longer mm-hmm. under mm-hmm. hospice. And the reason for that is the care that they receive. And you know, what mm-hmm. I'm hearing from you, Patrice, is that's it's the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody can kind of waste away in their home without proper care, and this is really frequent when a spouse dies, mm-hmm. and then the other mm-hmm. spouse just yes. kind of mm-hmm. withers away. But when the appropriate care can be applied, you know, people that aren't expected to live can turn out to live much longer than expected.
And have a quality of life for
exactly.
the rest of their yeah. time.
And yes. not only that, but again, go back, not only have a quality of life, but contribute to the well-being and the life of someone else.
True.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
true.
That's so positive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Elaine, what about you?
Yes, I've had quite a few experiences. One, I may just say up front, one client I'm taking care of went in the morning. She was doing all right. Took her into the bathroom, and the next thing I know, I'm doing CPR on, you know, with her sitting on the commode.
Mm.
And I did keep her alive until 911 came in. But family is one thing that I find that quite a few patients don't have mm-hmm. and don't have a relationship with. I've been with a client who was lonely. I took care of her for 2 years. It was basically loneliness that gives them that edge where, you know, we may think they're difficult, but it's just the loneliness
mm-hmm. yes.
that gives them the edge to defend themselves.
Okay.
And if you come in and not showing a type of love or showing a type of care, they and for them to pick that up and see, no, I'm just here to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
That is one thing that I try to do. I go in, don't care how difficult. There are times, yeah, you don't want to come in and do the job, yes, you know, because of how difficult they are. But we as caregivers, yeah, we do have to find the way to do it, you know. And if you, I would say to many caregivers, if you don't want to do this job, don't come in.
That's right.
Just don't come into this.
Yeah, if you don't have the heart,
don't come
you can't do it.
You can't.
I mean, you can pretend for a short period of time,
true.
But you're not going to be long-term if you
sure.
don't have the heart.
That's
right. And no amount of money can
no
change.
No amount of money can.
And
do
there's
that.
And the no. money and there's no. the money's not there anyway.
No.
So, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Let me throw this question out to whoever wants to answer it. What is the most difficult thing about the work that you do?
I would say not feeling, not from the client, because most of the clients, if you give it, they give it back. But sometimes for the families that they don't honor you. Yeah, yeah, they don't appreciate you. Mm. And I don't know if they're angry because you made a breakthrough with their family member, or, you know, because sometimes you go into estranged situations with families because the patient is estranged from their family, but you have a relationship, and they think of you as their family, and then the family in turn takes that as a disadvantage. Yes. So you're put in an awkward position. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's the hardest, because you're not trying to take their place. You're trying to do what you do and take care of the patient.
And even to make it easier.
Yeah.
On both sides.
On both sides.
They're not seeing that side of it.
They don't see it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They see you as the enemy when you're...
Well, I do understand what you're saying, Patrice. It is, I'm sure there's some very difficult issues with family members in those regards. I'll say this, and I see it constantly. I experienced it. Many times the family members, i.e. the children or the spouse, they're in denial. They don't want to see their loved one, their father or their mother or wife. They don't see them in this capacity. When the individual starts to physically go downhill, that's not their mother, that's not their father, that's not the spouse. That image is 20 years prior. So I think that a lot of times the family members react differently, because they really, that person in their mind, subconsciously anyway, is not their loved one.
That's true.
Difficult. I know I experienced it. That's difficult.
True. That is true. Mm-hmm. That is true.
The answer that you gave is a different answer than I would have expected. And it's interesting that what I hear that you value is the honor, the respect, the recognition from the family, that not so much for yourself, but the fact that you've made a difference in that person's life. I think what I expected to hear, I mean, because I can think of a whole bunch of clients that are very difficult to work with, I expected to hear something more along those lines. I am interested, how do you deal with a client that is resistant to your care?
Well, I think the reason why she didn't mention that, because we understand our patients. We feel them, even though sometimes they're angry, because they don't want to be sick. So we understand that. We feel that. So that doesn't bother us when they're, not a bit.
But eventually, does that barrier break down? I mean, do you have...
Yes, you can break that down.
You have to... Each client is different. But when you go in, you already know that most people, when you go in to help them, don't want your help. So you, as the caregiver, have to find a way to have them to receive what you're giving to them. And each client is different. So, I mean, you as you do it more, you begin to learn people more. And sometimes what people show is not really what they feel. And you have to learn to break the barrier as to what is feeling and what they really mean. And sometimes it's not even that. Sometimes they're just in pain. Mm-hmm. So you have to evaluate the person when you get to the person. So it becomes easier because you're not going in with a judgment. You're going in to see how you can
assist them.
That's right. And not going in to just do a job.
Yeah. Another way of doing it also that I find is find their interests. What are they interested in, and try to work with that. Mm-hmm. I've worked with clients who like to go to the gravesite 3 times, 4 times a week. Mm-hmm. Drive them.
Yes.
Take them there. Take the flowers.
And that goes back to, Elaine, to your statement is that if you show them that you care about them,
what they are interested in, what they want to do. Yeah, you just go ahead and do that. At the moment, I'm doing golf. And I have to do a I have to learn something about lacrosse because that's what Sir Grandson is doing now. So and that's my mood.
And have you have you ever been involved in these before?
No.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're keeping the quality of life going. You're keeping
but,
the quality
you know,
of life.
Our grandson plays lacrosse. Yeah. I have no idea, and I have to figure
that's
something
good.
Out.
That's good.
Yeah, that's great. As I listen to this program, I can see how we can use this, Brad. This is great material for young, new caregivers.
Caregivers.
Yeah, great.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great, yeah. Great.
Mm-hmm. How do you, if you have a client that, one of the problems that people don't like to talk about when it comes to their loved ones and their care is hygiene. And there comes a time when some clients decide they just don't need to keep up with that anymore. How do you convince a client that doesn't want to take a bath to take a bath?
I have had that, and I have dealt with it.
A big club, right?
We big club. I take extra clothes with me in the car, you know. Because there are ways of doing it. I find that if you take them to the bathroom and you say, okay, let me help you. Can you remember the day you did such and such a thing? Or can you remember when you used to go to the club or go to church or you go somewhere, you know, the way you were dressed? Let's try that today. So you find something to lead into, you know, getting them interested. You know, you have to just find a way.
Yeah, I was talking with a person from the Alzheimer's Association not long ago, and they were speaking about cueing. Rather than telling.
Yeah. Telling, yes.
You
find another way to
Or
go
you
in.
Bargain.
Bargain.
That's what I did.
You want that ice cream sundae?
Actually, it works. Yeah. I mean, or he said it was so cold, that's why he didn't want to take a shower. Yeah. So I would take the heater in the bathroom heat the bathroom up. And so I say, is it warm enough for you now? And then once it was warm enough, then he would go in and take a shower. You have to sometimes
find
ways
to get around it.
You have to work around it. That's can do it. I mean,
and just
no
be respectful
wants,
of how
be
it's going
to
be, you know,
always.
How you're doing it.
Always,
you know, just.
Always, yeah.
A nice mellow mood.
And maybe you ladies can have a little chat with Sam after the show.
Oh.
I have no comment.
I know. let me ask you another question. What do you wish that your family members knew about what you do with your clients?
Repeat that again.
If you could tell your family members one thing, you know, that maybe you're uncomfortable telling them to their face, but if, you know, what would you want people to know about what you do with your clients as family members?
I treat them as if they were my family.
Yes.
I'm really engaged in the client when I'm with the client, and my problem probably is I probably take it home.
Home.
And
I think of them as my parents. You know, it could be my parents.
Yes,
I would treat her like she's my mom. I would treat him like he's my dad, because I would want them to have the same care of what my parents they have.
Yeah,
and that brings us to how do you? So how do you day in, day out, year after year, face the challenge when you leave your client and go home, and you say you do bring it home? So how do you get past all that? How do you endure that emotional aspect of dealing with a loved one in a critical situation day in, day out?
I think when you are in this field, you should be prepared for anything. And for a patient dying, taking it home, my family understands because we do the same thing basically at home. My husband, I had to take care of him, so he sees how I take care of things when it's a medical term, you know, things need to be done at home. My children are open to that also. I have a child, my daughter, who is now going back to school to do RN, finally. She works as a surgical tech for years, and she understands that. My son also. You know, they do know. What I'm doing at work is what I do at home. So,
yeah, so
it's no much difference.
It comes back
right. It comes full circle.
Full circle, right back. Full circle. You have to have a caring. You have to be the right person, a caring heart.
There
and
you
your
go.
Family
there
has
you
to
go.
Has to be no, of that nature
you,
too.
To know that yeah. that's mommy.
I think our family knows that. They
that's
know.
Us.
They know.
They
us.
Know
that's
us.
Think
about
one of the benefits of hospice that we often hear is that the approach to hospice is holistic. And they treat the whole person, mm-hmm. you know, they treat the body, the mind, mm-hmm. and the spirit. How does that play? How does faith or spirituality play into what you do?
Big.
It's big.
Big.
I mean, that's
big.
The, I mean, that's the whole of your being.
Yes.
Because you have to yes. have faith to do this, and you have to have whatever your faith is. I mean, everyone has their own faith. Mm-hmm. And what they believe, but you have to have a sense of belief of that. To me, I feel like what you give out will eventually come back to yeah. you mm-hmm. one day. Not mm-hmm. saying it's going to come from the person that you give it to. Mm-hmm. Not saying it's just the karma that you put out into the universe. Mm-hmm. It's what I feel. It comes back to you one day.
I do a lot of volunteer work through my church also, where the seniors do need help. And we do have a group of 10 of us who rotate taking care of clients. Mm-hmm. Well, we call them clients now. You know, church members, you know, and you do it just because you want to do it, not because you're entitled or you think you should.
Or that you're going to get a reward.
No reward. No reward.
Your reward is in your spirit.
That's
how I feel about it.
Just do good.
It's in your
just
spirit.
Just do good.
And how do your clients benefit from that? Do you see a benefit?
Yes.
They wait for you in the mornings
yeah.
or, you know.
Or when you're about to leave. Are you yeah. sure you can't stay a little longer?
Yes.
And you're
they make up things sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you do this at 2 minutes?
I used to have one that used to get sick every Friday. Every Friday because I wasn't there on the weekend. Mm-hmm. He would get sick every Friday.
Yes.
And I had one like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah.
It happens in the evenings.
I'll
oh,
be back
you
on
can't,
Monday.
Can
yeah.
you stay? Do yeah. you have to go
go
right now?
Yeah.
You know,
my eyes are itching.
Yeah.
You know,
but you know, I've done that. I've done
yes.
that.
I've stayed
10 minutes
where
before,
I'm not supposed to
I want
to
take
I've
a shower
stayed.
Now. All of a sudden, it's 10 minutes too. I said, okay,
yeah.
let's go take
should
a shower.
Shower. Yeah.
You know, it's so amazing. I speak very often. I'm not in the caregiving business. I'm not in that service business. We are in the relationship business.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is. And you all have solidified and just mm-hmm. amplified that so well, so well. Mm-hmm. Well, boy, this has been a great time. It has really gone quickly. In fact, too short here. But nevertheless, we have to move on. Let's begin and kind of wrap up this way. We always want to ask a tip or a suggestion that may be beneficial to our listening audience. So I'm going to begin with Sharon. Sharon, if you had a tip to give their listeners, the families of seniors, what tip might you give them as they start down this pathway?
A lot of love and attention. Patience is very important because sometimes it's a long road and sometimes family are in denial and it takes time to get to the place where they understand what their family members are going through. So patience is so important. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of that.
That's good advice.
Mm-hmm. I think you need a lot of love. I think you need to take care of yourself first before you can take care of others. And if your spirit is right, you can be the spirit that can guide and lead others.
Mm. Excellent.
One thing I like to push is skills. Caregivers, please use your skills and use it tactfully. You know, do not be too blatant. You know, be calm in any situation that you come up with, and you will come up with a lot. Believe me.
Great advice. The one additional thing that I drew out from our conversation here is it sounds to me like there are an awful lot of family members that are not involved in the care of their mm-hmm. relatives, whether it's parents or uncles or aunts or whatever. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounded like you were wishing that families would be more involved and would mm-hmm. be more engaged in trying to get along with their families, particularly.
Yes, definitely, yes.
That's where the time mm-hmm. and love, you got to get that time and spend more time with your family members.
Mm-hmm. They do visit.
Yeah. It's not the quantity, it's the quality of the time that they spend.
Right.
If they just
right.
took 5 minutes out of their day to try mm-hmm. to do something.
And when they visit, they need to touch.
Touch
their family member.
And talk to them and not talk around them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are human too. They're sitting there, Mm-hmm. even if they have Alzheimer's, they still hear. So
that's
you don't
right.
know what capacity they're hearing at. So
sure.
be knowledgeable that they do hear and they mm-hmm. have feelings too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people don't just go by what you say. They go by your touch and
your spirit, too.
Your spirit mm-hmm. gives mm-hmm. them yeah. what they...
Mm-hmm. That's great. Great advice. I don't know how to express our appreciation for you three and for the whole body of caregivers that we have. You are special people. I know each of you have heard my story about treasure keepers, and you truly are the heroes and the treasure keepers of our business, and we certainly thank you for that.
And if any of our listeners would be interested in contacting one of these ladies, you can do that via the Griswold Special Care Office at 770-908-0707, or you can send an email to the radio show info@ujiriaradio.com, and we'll make sure that they get it.
A great special huge thanks to Sharon, to Patrice, to Elaine. Thank you for being here, for being our guest, but most of all, thank you for being who you are.
And
thank you.
And congratulations on your awards.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for today. We once again thank our guest. We want to remind our listeners that if they wish to do so, they can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show at ujiriaradio.com. And as always, if the youth of this nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you, and God bless.
Ujiria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.